back off of recess, excuse me. We'll come back now to Senate Bill 483, and we're doing a public hearing on 483. And we invite Senator Perioli, a good senator from southeastern Oregon, well, from eastern Oregon.
John Day.
Most of eastern Oregon.
The heart of District 59.
The heart of District 59.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will just say that I am the senator from everywhere else. That pretty much covers it. I appreciate the compliment of being from the heart of Senate of District 59, which is the House District. I think I'm also from the heart of District 28, which is the Senate District. The good bill that you have before you, I think, expresses a relatively simple concept. And that concept is that Oregon recognized that certain fuel users should be exempt from paying the standard highway taxes on those fuels. For instance, we do not tax those that are exempt from PUC, like farm vehicles. We do not tax organizations like fire districts or school districts. We do not tax a number of others, including about 800 special districts organized under Oregon revised statutes. There are about 560 remaining districts who have not been specifically enumerated under the authority to exempt them from this taxation. And those folks are trapped in a situation where one taxing district or one taxing entity is taxing another taxing district. So the thought was, even in recognition of the fact that there is some wear and tear on highways when all these public vehicles go about doing their daily services, they're doing those daily services in service to their communities. And undoubtedly, although there is wear and tear on the highways, there is also wear and tear on the local taxing district's ability to provide services. And we keep offloading costs to local jurisdictions. And we actually have to now provide resources if we do offload those costs to local jurisdictions. If there are cost shifts, we're supposed to provide the resources. This bill, in fact, does make, I think, a governmental efficiency in that we could still bring before our committees groups of organizations that could probably very easily justify how the cost savings would benefit them individually. But this bill seeks to make all the special taxing districts eligible to apply for a refund of fuel taxes paid. Probably not all will. But at least it gives them the opportunity to recover some of the costs that could be used to extend the glide path on their programs or perhaps delay a cost increase to their customer base, which is the general public that we all serve. So although I understand that some folks believe that this is a pay-as-you-go world, others, like myself, believe that anything that we can do to help the local taxing districts provide services to their customers is something that we ought to look very hard at. I think the cost in this case is relatively reasonable. It is measurable. I think you have the recap of the refunds that are currently made and those that legislative fiscal identified could possibly be made under this authority. I believe that the issues that are before you were thoroughly discussed in the Senate subcommittee, and although they may not be as discriminating or as tough as some of the members on your committee, Senator Yee, this is still a good bill. I think it does benefit the special districts, and I urge you to think hard about providing the additional resources through this authority to apply for refunds on fuel taxes provided to those local districts.
Thank you very much, Senator Perioli. Are there questions for Senator Perioli? Senator Yee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Perioli, do you think the savings the tax districts receive because of not paying this tax will be passed on to the property owners so that they pay less tax?
Mr. Chairman, to Senator Yee's question, no, the taxes will not be necessarily passed on to the property owners. There will be a tax shift, and it does shift the tax to the motorist, to the general traveling public. Basically, the tax that we're allowing people by the authority in this bill to avoid is fuel taxes. And fuel taxes, as you know, are paid by people that buy and consume fuel. There is no question that the local taxing districts do buy and consume fuel. And the fact that they would be eligible to apply for a refund on their fuel taxes would shift that burden to other motorists. But as we all know, the taxes in fuel use in the state of Oregon are up significantly over the past 10 years. Arguably, and we have heard it argued, that there is plenty of money within the current fuel tax system to run our Department of Transportation. I think you have stated, Senator Yee, often that if efficiency was better in the Department of Transportation, we wouldn't need to hear about increases in fuel taxes. Others will argue that we need a 2-cent or a 5-cent increase in fuel taxes. Those that would take that position need only check the latest election results to find out if the voters will agree with them or not. I would just submit to you that there is a tax shift here. All of us that drive and consume, drive cars and consume fuel and drive trucks and other vehicles and consume fuel would shoulder the additional burden. I would venture to guess none of us will notice the additional drag on our SUVs as we drive around in the pursuit of our life, liberty, and happiness.
Just one question I have in that regard, Senator. I need to understand the tax shift.
Yes.
Is there truly a tax shift, or is it just a tax reduction? Because there's nothing that would really replace this tax in the transportation road fund.
Representative Butler and Mr. Chairman, you're right. It is a tax avoidance for the local taxing districts. Were they not able to exercise the authority under Senate Bill 483, they would simply have to raise the taxes to the local communities whom they serve. There is no replacing revenue in the fuel consumption system other than the fact that revenues, because of population increases and more mileage driven by Oregonians, has been on a fairly steep increase for the last decade, and I don't expect that to go away. So I would expect that neither Oregon Department of Transportation will notice the loss in revenue, but certainly the local taxing districts that would avoid the taxes will notice the gain in net spendable for their public purposes.
Let me ask this question of both yourselves and his representative from 59. And I'm really sincere in this. Are we moving more equipment towards diesel? Is diesel more and more effective and efficient? Or are we seeing any kind of shift away from this kind of fuel for these special districts? What those of us who've used diesels in our trucks in the past, and Representative Smith indicates that everything at the Port of Morrow is diesel, except for his automobile and his motor scooter. So,
and a few select vehicles, but in general, it's diesel.
Mr. Chairman, I'd have to concur with the good representative from 59, but I guess I would also suggest to you that there might be additional efficiencies. A number of the agencies use tax-free fuel, and a number of the special districts are not authorized to use tax-free fuel. This authority might give different groups of agencies in sub-districts and special districts the ability to fuel at a common site and perhaps increase the efficiency by increased volume. And certainly there'd be an authority and less difficulty with using approved fuels that may have trace elements put in them for detection purposes, which are currently not supposed to be in those vehicles that don't have this authority. So I guess there'd be no reason I could see that fueling couldn't increase in efficiency for all agencies because of their relatively larger volume.
Excellent. Is there, I'm wondering if we can bring it down to the next to the lowest common denominator, which is the households and individuals. Do we have an idea of who the approximately 560 special districts that remain uncovered by the exemption might be? We've heard that the 4th District is one.
counties, do they presently buy tax-free?
Actually, the exemptions have had to be enumerated one by one at the present, under the present circumstance, Mr. Chairman, and they are enumerated in page 259 of the general provisions of Oregon Revised Statute 198.010. Public utility districts, water districts, cemetery districts, park and recreation districts, mass transit districts, metropolitan service districts, special road districts, road assessment districts, highway lighting districts, health districts, sanitary districts.
These are the exempt ones.
These are the ones that are currently exempt. The approach that we have taken is to add to the list with successive legislative sessions. And these are as used in the chapter, except as otherwise specific, the provided districts mean any of the following. These are the kinds of districts that would be covered under Senate Bill 483. What I do not have available to me is the entire list of the currently eligible exempt districts. I have in testimony from the League of Oregon Cities the relative numbers of how many that are exempt and how many that are not exempt.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Senator. Are there questions, additional questions for Senator Perry? We appreciate you coming over, Senator. I know that you've got a busy schedule.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate it very much, and I guess if the sponsor of the bill needs to do more legwork with members of the committee to arrive at an understanding, I'd certainly be happy to do that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Senator, Representative Johnson.
I'm not sure Senator Farioli can answer this. I realize Mike is gone. With the chair's permission, could I ask Mr. Doty your question?
Have Mr. Doty come up. That'd be fine.
Or either one of you. I don't mean to pick up. It's a fuel tax question.
We'll have
I apologize.
Mr. Hess come up.
Sorry, Mr. Hess.
No problem.
The piece of this that I'm curious about is, tell me how this works for ODOT. You pay your own share of taxes, and those get divided, and what happens to, tell me how the ODOT piece of this works.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, taxpayers that pay the use fuel tax generally file monthly tax reports with us. They compute the gallons that are used.
I know that piece of it. The piece I'm trying to understand is, how specifically does this impact the agency? You're paying taxes. You're also paying the agency's main contribution to the maintenance of the roads. How does this work on ODOT vehicles, and what's the impact of the agency?
Well, Representative Johnson. We pay the tax just like everyone else. There would be an impact in the regions that fill out the tax reports, if that's what you're talking about, that they wouldn't have to do that anymore. The money goes into the highway fund.
Okay. Thanks.
Sorry.
That's okay. I'm not asking a coaching question, obviously.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Johnson, if this bill were passed, ODOT would be exempt from paying tax. They buy their fuel in bulk, and they pay the tax later on during the biennium. Currently, they wouldn't be paying it at all, so there wouldn't be a money going in and money coming out kind of scenario.
Okay, thank you.
If that's what you're
asking. Thank you.
So I guess, Mr. Chairman, at the very least, we're looking at a paperwork reduction strategy for some agencies. And the other issue is of the irony of having agencies pay taxes to generate funds to pay themselves through the legislative process and authority to do road maintenance and reconstruction.
And Senator Farioli just answered my question.
Yeah.
That's what I was
going in a big circle. I guess the theory, the argument that we put forward to the Senate was, it seems like we're moving money from one pocket to another when we're taxing jurisdictions for fuel taxes. Thank you.
Senator Farioli, it's nice to see you today.
Ma'am, I appreciate being seen. Chairman.
We're getting a little daffy in the Senate.
You
say it.
Yes.
So.
So are we going to vote, or are we waiting for the question?
Follow me on.
Okay. We have the vote to pass it out. If he's a no, we probably shouldn't go into work.
We're done. Done.
We're done.
Close the public hearing.
I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 483 as they engrossed and open the work session on 483 as they engrossed. I think that we have some interest in this particular bill, and people are coming and going, so...
Mr. Chair, just to...
I need some input. Senator Representative Johnson.
Just to move things down the road, I would move Senate Bill 483. I'm trying to think what I'm going to do with it.
Where does it go?
Where does it go? Does it go to full Ways and Means?
It goes to full Ways and Means with a recommendation from this committee.
Okay, I would move Senate Bill 483 to full Ways and Means with a due pass.
Okay. We've got a motion and a second. Now, discussion relative to 483. Seeing none, are there any objections to the motion that is presently made before us that we advance Senate Bill 483 as they engrossed to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none. So ordered.
Carrier?
And Representative Johnson to the full Ways and Means.
Sure.
And Representative...
Well, there we only can carry it.
He could. We have...
I would happily defer to the much more senior
happily
Senator Ferriero.
And on the House, and Senator Ferriero would carry it on the floor of the Senate, and Representative Smith will carry it in the House. And with that, we will then close the session. Thank you.